This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Baba. Hezekiah.
Knowledge Bank.
What a beautiful start to the Knowledge Bank this morning at 11 o'clock to 12. And let me tell you a bit of history. As I always say, you can deposit to the Knowledge Bank and we make intellectual deposits there. And you use Lukona at power987.co.za to actually deposit to the Knowledge Bank. And this deposit from today, for today at least, I got an email from not an unfamiliar person right now, Umduduzi Godlo, and he says, Budim Tembu, hope you are managing well. And then he goes on to make suggestions of what we can talk to, and he says, attached is my big brother's master's thesis on SA Jazz pianism. Yonela Mnana is a teacher, academic, pianist, composer, and a vocalist. And some people are already excited on Twitter for this conversation to say, well, you know, there you've got a gem, no doubt. I mean, that song we just started off with, Baba, is by Yonela Mnana. Yonela, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning, Putlukona. I'm glad to be here, and good morning to the listeners as well.
Thank you so much for making time. I mean, you wrote for your master's thesis, really giving us something to think about in terms of South African jazz pianism, a reflexive practice. And there were certain things you were trying to debunk with that approach, and it almost shows in the methodology that you undertake, in the sense that you didn't want to rely on interviews, as many people that you say, when they want to, you know, give rise to social history, they tend to interview people and all of that. You wanted to focus, though, on South African jazz pianists, and whose musical point of departure is jazz. I find a complete transcription of their work unnecessary for research of this scale. Tell us what you are trying to achieve with that master's thesis.
Well, you know, I think seeing that this is really Heritage Month, it's important. I think it's important for us to know what our heritage is. And understanding, you know, South African brand of pianism is a very important thing for me, and I think for the rest of other musicians, and of course, the general public at large. So I know that for most of us, we are able to determine if you hear and listening to a piece of music, you can hear that there is something much more local about this. Mm. And I found it very strange that we don't find that stuff in music institutions and in music appreciation circles. The fact that there is no real appreciation for local pianists, not because they are local, but there's no appreciation for their work as a unique form of art and expression. And I set out to actually do just that, to show that there is something really, really, really important and special about their way of playing and way of thinking and the context in which they were playing the music in. Mm. And, I found that actually there were many other figures that have been very dominant in the South African music field, notably Abdullah Ibrahim, Begum Selegu, and Chris McGregor. And I used this as the three main figures that advances my case.
Mm. Mm-hmm. In fact, in that case, what you are trying to build is that, you know, a new body of research work, because you are saying current research has tended to focus on ensembles, individuals, or the national story, but not necessarily on South African jazz pianism as a singular performance tradition, which you argue has its own genealogies, histories, heroines, and heroes. Can you take us through some of these genealogies?
First, I must just acknowledge that I think what was very fascinating for me was the approach of the research, in the sense that most people tend to focus on individuals. There's a whole obsession to case study and to tend to want to pluralize the finding to the general domain.
Yes.
So I thought it's better to have a holistic approach on the style in itself, on a phenomenon of piano playing rather than the people in themselves. The genealogy of pianists in South Africa is varied and is very wide, but it has been very much silenced. This very strangest thing when people start talking about South African history is that, you know, we tend to hark back into the 60s or so, to a period where many musicians got to go to exile. And you can wonder whether the publicization and the domination of such artists were done for the purpose of celebrating the music, or whether it was just advancing people's political interests. There has been so many other stories. I think the earliest that I can think of begins really with the advent and the coming of the piano itself in 1834 in Grahamstown. Remember that the piano in itself came with all other colonial things, you know, such as religion and whatever. So piano is part of the Elizabethan, or was it at that time the Victorian lifestyle? And I mean, it was as part of the missionization and acculturization
and civilization project of colonialism.
Yes, it has come in that way. And I mean, I think that begins really the genealogy, as Christine Lucia rightly points out, that you know, black people became aware of the possibility for them to express themselves through this imposed way of life, you know, in the same way that I think black people were able to personalize their own Jesus, you know, away from what missionaries has been advocating. I was actually thinking yesterday how, you know, abantu makwenzwa imisebenzi, even makuyolotshwa kusanxitshwa ibhatyi and stuff like that. But yeah. No, you know, we still think that is really, really the most authentic way of being traditional. So I'm saying the piano in itself, as much as it's what is a Western instrument, it has managed to be used as a trigger to find the self. And the genealogies are very varied and in that way, because from one area to the other, there's been different cultures. I know in Cape Town, there was, you know, there's been a culture of peer learning from Abdullah Ibrahim, Gutete Mbambisa, was it even up to Hotep Galeta, Chris Schilder. You know, I was actually talking to another pianist, Mark Franzman, who's helping me supervise this other project, Nana, that I'm doing for my PhD. And of course, they recently departed, Andre Peterson. So there is, and of course, Kyle Shepard and Bogani Dyer. There are those histories. There's a history in Devon. Yep. That's from, you know, Hope Kumalo and Wilfred Msele, who's Peggy Msele's grandfather.
Yes.
Up until, you know, through to Peggy Msele himself, you know, Tema Mkhize, Afrika Mkhize, we've got Sanele Phakathi. There's so many great and uncelebrated stories. But my focus really was more on their way of thinking, rather than celebrating the personalities.
In fact, Yonela, I'm going to come back to that. I just want to pay bills a little. My guest is Yonela Mnana, jazz scholar, recording singer, jazz pianist, and a teacher. You can already feel the teacher in him as he actually takes us through these genealogies of the South African jazz pianism here in South Africa. And I am going to, after a short break that we are going to take, ask him, what is it that, you know, distinguishes South African jazz pianism? Because he talks about a unique sound that you can feel. And in actual fact, he talks about why it shouldn't just be reduced to mere mimicry, or even more generously, to a faithful rendition of American jazz's pianism. So what is it that distinguishes South African jazz pianism? We'll hear from Yonela Mnana after this short ad break.
Power Talk with Lukhona Mbini. Call Lukhona on 0861-987-000.
23 minutes past 11. My guest is Yonela Mnana, jazz scholar, recording singer, jazz pianist, a teacher, and so much more. Yonela, let's talk about this uniqueness of South African jazz pianism and why you feel, people must not quickly run to American jazz's pianism if they want to talk about this. Because you are now studying South African jazz pianism in its own right and not as an offshoot of something and not as a creation or imagination of another, but an almost organic reimagination of the piano, as you were saying earlier, but within the South African sound.
Yes, I think, I regard this project as a very decolonial approach, really, in the sense that before we even talk about people in the dominant narratives, we have to actually own our narrative. It is a pity that every time when one has to deal with a student or in the curriculum, more especially in tertiary institutions, and appreciation books, America has managed to put itself as the center, as being in the center of the narrative. And I think it is very unfortunate for us to not respect what we have here, to not understand our pianists as the ones that have actually written the soundtrack of our very much violent past, you know, as opposed to a lot of Americans. I mean, if a lot of pianists there tend to play a lot of love songs, a lot of so-called jazz standards. Mm. But I don't even have a problem with them. I have a problem with the idea that has been advanced that to be able to think in jazz and to play jazz, you need to be very much conversant and to Americanness, but also the fact that the way of defining your genre should rely on how they define themselves, as if by achieving their standards, they are ready to celebrate you like that. We know now a lot of people now that are regarded to be international are international because they are in America, which is a very bizarre concept because we've got already 6 continents, but we only know music from one. I mean, that's the highest level of imperialism. Mm. So back to the story of South African pianists, there's no one that doesn't know Uchona by Pat Machigiza. There's no one that doesn't know Manenberg by Abdullah Ibrahim. I think. You know, a lot of songs, as late as music from Don Lager, in fact. Now also we've got Duduzo Makatin, who's really, really holding it out there for us. So I find the first, it's the really important part about it, is that most of these pianists have become leaders in their own right and were able to write their own histories on the piano, in the way that they composed, in the way that they played in the band, and in the fact that they were able, some of them, to go outside and collaborate. In fact, what I denote this as a jazz triangle, the fact that a lot of jazz expressions has been taken from the Americas, from North America, in fact, via the Atlantic, so that transatlantic connection begins a triangle. And for us, our learning of that art form and mastery of it is another angle. And that what joins the two angles is how that understanding and that personalization of this art form has been taken out there to the universe to share with the rest of the world. So I find that also South African pianists in that way have been very ambassadorial, in fact, beyond the politics, beyond the lip service that we hear here in a lot of circles.
In fact, it seems as if they've tried to distinguish themselves away from the politics to be as accessible to as many circles as possible.
Well, I mean, there has been a tendency that equates music with language. But we know, I mean, even Beethoven gets to articulate the fact that there is an expression, there is a thing about a musical expression that even goes beyond linguistic ways, you know. And I think these pianists have managed to not just master this language, but to personalize it in a way that is able to articulate who we are in South Africa, but in a way that is able to convey to the non-South Africans what was happening here, the joys, the sorrows, the celebrations, the ritualistic art forms. But I think more importantly, they were able to use the piano as a way to find who we were even in the prehistoric eras, and to bring that back into, you know, in a pianistic form. And I think that's really, 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 really special. You know, and that's why we don't have to be understanding ourselves based on a lot of other technical proficiencies that have been established as the major barometer for brilliance.
Indeed, Yonela, let's take a short break. I'm going to go to Power News headlines with Thomas White. But when we come back, I do want us to look at the socio-spiritual journeys that you start talking about as well in your thesis, and just how some of the everyday sounds are a primary basis for a unique South African creative expression and are crucial to an evolving South African jazz pianism. I mean, those are some of your words that you give us in that master's thesis. Thomas White, I think after this, we might need piano lessons. I once tried my luck, but that was many, many years ago.
Tweet Lukhona at Lukhona Mguni and hashtag Power Talk.
Or you can dial in on 0861-987-000 this morning to be part of the Knowledge Bank with Yonela Mnana, jazz scholar, recording singer, jazz pianist, and much more, a teacher. And please do join this conversation before we run out of time and you accuse me of closing you out. 0861-987-000 is the dial. Yonela, I just wanted to start, you know, touch base a bit on the concept of socio-spiritual journeys that you introduce as well in the thesis, and how, you know, this South African jazz pianism evolves much around that very sort of spiritual connection. I mean, just talking to you, by the way, having you here in studio and starting off with your song, Baba, gave me a very different aura than I normally have here in studio.
Yeah, I suppose that's the only thing we can give each other for free, you know? You know, being spiritual with each other, being as honest as possible. I think, in fact, it's such a South African aspect. Just the greeting is a great thing. And I think it comes out also through the piano. But when I was contemplating the socio-spiritual journeys, I'm referring to the stories that one would hear from all South African pianists. The fact that what has led them to playing is the experiences that they have spiritually as they grow up, and socially as also they grow up. You know that they've always, there's a talk of nurture and nature, but I believe pianism has really, really been much more of the sounds that were nurtured before one meets the piano. So I'll make a distinction here. In other nations, people, like you were saying now, people tend to want to do lessons, which means that a lot of their musical information will be, say, from a written paper, or from a specific art form, which is most definitely Western classical music. But what is amazing about South Africans, even so, imagine like a 6-year-old, 8-year-old child who meets the piano. When they get there, because there's an absence of lessons, they immediately tend to be musical because already the influences have been there during the, as they grew up. Actually, I was talking to Brandy Lennon, and he was telling me how when she, you know, he just took a break from the class. He came back and found them, the class, the whole class dancing to one student just repeatedly playing the note, you know, which is something that probably resembles a piano. But that, I'm just saying that our creativity stems from the fact that we tend to play the influences that we had in the past than the influences we had from a colonizing kind of approach.
Mm.
And that's something that you get from a socio-spiritual stimuli. You know, it's something, there is a guy called Paul Berliner who wrote a book called Thinking in Jazz.
Mm.
And was actually just showing that it is harder to really learn jazz from schools because these stories of their journeys start way before the, you know, primary and second and tertiary tuition. So how do you want someone to start jazz, to learn jazz at universities if your experiences begin when you were born?
Mm.
I mean, the kind of, they say that a person gets to hear music when he's still in their mother's womb.
Yes.
So one was quoted to say that, in fact, it means the reaction to that sound stimuli begins when you make your first cry when you get born.
Mm.
So that we can consider that as a first performance.
Oh, wow, that's so beautiful. Yonela, I've got L.H. Lang. I've been taking cue from what Thomas White said ahead of news headlines. Says, I must ask you if you have any, what are your views on the current amapiano sound?
Well, I've never studied it, but I can tell you that we know when the song begins and during the song that the most important sound that you hear has nothing to do with the piano.
Mm.
And so we will understand that we cannot want to conflate the two because, you know, I would have said it's at face value, it's at word value now.
Mm.
So it's a genre in itself, and I suppose there's some nuance that people, you know, get to talk about, but I cannot relate anything between the two that I'm saying. I know that at some point, where people just get to play an instrumental thing and they get to improvise a little bit on the keyboard.
Yeah.
And I suspect maybe that might have been
that
the
might
thing,
be what's happening.
But I wouldn't know.
Let me just give you a message as we're about to take our calls on 0861-987. Ikumile Kada says, Amen. Look on, I'm working, but had to take a moment to dig into my files to find this image I took of this great a while ago at a show I attended. He is brilliant, and hearing his thinking on SA Jazz Pianism is such a treat. Tell him we love him and need more shows in Jozi. So you were performing the Yonela. She has not given me the location, but it must have been somewhere here around Johannesburg. You are definitely in your fields with a mic before you, and you are hitting on that piano very well. Let's take the calls. Masilo, good morning. Good day, Ngwana.
Yonela.
Hey, okay.
How are you, bro?
Wait.
Yeah, no, I'm so appreciating what you are saying, how you are saying it. This is a very important work. In the future, the Shielders, the Nkizes will be looking to this document. So
thank you so much. No, really, man. Thanks even for just calling through. Thanks for the love. Eh? Yeah.
Always
a pleasure. Thank you so much joining us on 0861-987-000. Tsubai, good morning.
Yonela.
Hey, Ndot.
Uti.
Yakuzwa.
Ndot, anything vulu iredi la ngihlangana nawe. This guy, the listeners need to know, this is the guy we grew up with. We've always loved jazz. You know, but we leaned more towards the Americans, the ritual trios and all. This guy says, listen to this. Here's Andy Leenan. When we listen to Zim, your favorite Zim Nwana Trench, he will point out that the guy playing on this track, the pianist is this such and such a person. That is how we got to know Abu Begin Seleku, because you know, we focus more on those guys, Abu Bobby Hutcherson and all that.
But
I'm glad to the analysis you gave us today. It's as if I don't know you, Baba. You're someone different. But keep up the good work. We'll work on what we're talking about the other day. Keep pushing, man.
Thank you so much. 0861-987-000 if you want to be part of the Knowledge Bank, talking all things South African jazz, pianism, a reflexive practice with Yonela Mnana, scholar, singer, pianist, teacher, and so much more. Yonela Soli on Twitter is asking, can I ask you, what's your position on the late Moses Mulelekwa's piano music? Is there a way of getting more research from his music and his repertoires at converts while he was still alive?
Yes, in fact, it's almost like you know, I'm doing now my PhD research on these artists, even including Moses Mulelekwa, but I'm also researching them on the albums that they did solo without any accompaniment. So I'm hoping that you'll find more information from what I'm going to do. I haven't had anything much that has been written as yet on them in that way, except that, I mean, we know he was a phenomenal person. And that, you know, I was actually thinking about him and Pet Machigiza. I'm researching now on other artists, older artists like Todd Machigiza, Pet Machigiza, Chris Schilder, like Marcelo was intimating the other time. Even to our recent artists like Undutuzo and Mashilwane, and also they did some solo recordings. So I'm definitely hoping that you will find the beginning or another edition to the bank. I mean, I've just written a paper. Maybe a year back, actually, and presented it on Todd Machigiza.
Yes.
And I think, with the love and support and financial assistance, we'll be able to unearth more and more.
In fact, Yonela, just before during one of our breaks off air, you mentioned Todd Machigiza as some form of gateway to a place that you have not made connections with.
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, the unfortunate part about it, you know, in America, they used a lot of black expressions for commercial gain. In South Africa, they made it sure that there is lack of commercial recording to be able as a way of suppressing a black expression. And we have unfortunately not gained from the lack of recording of anything that was before the 50s. So the music that we have found, which was unreleased anyway, by Todd Machigiza, is so different and rings so much of other Tin Pan Alley songs, other American ragtime. You can also hear a lot of Marabi in there. It's so much more. So I feel that he's really a window or a gateway, as you say. And if we listen carefully and go back to it, we might find more important stuff. And I mean, I should say that there is a call out there. You know, I know that there have been people that have been patrons of most of these musicians and have been making, you know, unofficial recordings of such. We need such recordings. We need to unearth these people and talk about them, because it's a way to our heritage. I mean, it's funny how people, you know, people would have paintings of Picasso, but they don't even have paintings of their own parents. You know, and I think when we unearth and celebrate this music, we basically reaffirming ourselves by, you know, I mean, knowing who we are.
Yonela, in your thesis, you also talk about the limitations of the comparative narrative, and that's why you sort of try introduce Begum Seleku in his own right. You take a quote from the saxophonist John Coltrane, they're saying, "Myself, I recognize the artist, and I recognize an individual. I see his contribution, and when I know a man's sound, well, to me, that's him." Now, how important is for you, why do you think of, you know, Mselegu as the ideal McCoy? Is he the real McCoy? What are you trying to tell us about Begum Mselegu as you introduce him to us in this thesis?
Yes, I'm saying that most people were not able to hear Begum Mselegu as himself because they listened to him through an American lens. And because I know a lot of people celebrate Begum Mselegu based on on the technical proficiency and how adept he is on the colonial ways of actually talking about music. And I'm saying that Begum Mselegu has been mistaken to be McCoy in many ways, in the way that they've put him in ensembles, more especially when he went to the Verve Record in America. He's, you know, the fact that he actually got to even play with Coltrane's drummer, Elvin Jones, and Coltrane's son. It's almost like they could only understand us if we fit the other's framework. And I'm saying perhaps if we listen much more closer, like Coltrane is saying, we hear who Peggy was, as himself, we will understand that there is something completely, completely unique. I'm discussing the comparative narrative to say that the reason why we're not able to celebrate our stuff is because we look like emulators of another culture. We don't appear to be unique people. And I'm saying the reason why it looks like that, it's because the rubric, the criteria, and the standardization is not set by us, and it's not the standard that we should use to define ourselves. We must see the limits of this comparative narrative and start a new way of thinking about it. I mean, what has been phenomenal for me with Peggy is how he has re-owned ways that Americans were using the piano and managed to put them according to his voice. For example, a lot of some American pianists get to be understood in how they play standards. But what Peggy was doing was to use the format of the standards and the chord progressions gleaned from to make his composition from such. So in a way, it's more like he did a dissertation on what Americanness is, but he makes Americanness in his own key, as they say. So I think that is the highest level of South Africanisms, the fact that we've got many kinds of consciousnesses. We can, you know, we can understand hip hop, but we can even say it in our own language. That is what is South African about us, the many kinds of consciousnesses that we have versus the fact that we can only be understood to be who we are by being authentic away from everybody else.
Beautiful stuff. Let's go back to that line. Lazarus, you are wanting to join this beautiful knowledge bank with Yonela Mnana. Good morning.
Thobela le kae.
Teng wena ntate.
No, I'm the first time calling to Dadulu Kona.
Welcome. I'm glad that Yonela has taken you out of your woodworks.
Thank you. Hello, Lazarus.
Ke rata go mention ntate Yonela. Ntate Yonela ke re le ke kwa first song we ra lokileng Manisha was so touched, and I believe for the fact that gore that Yonela like ke go tsiba from go gale, and I believe you follow on mo YouTube. Hey, ke kwele ke gahlegile ka mmere go mo botsodi rama.
No, re a leboga re a tshepa gore awe le tla dula le re latella le re thega ka mogole bolang ka gona.
No,
thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lazarus. Stay tuned in on Power 98.7. Tapelo, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm all right. First time caller also.
Oh, wow. Look at it. What a beautiful. Yeah, but now you can't miss the opportunity to speak to this giant before me.
Definitely, definitely. Yonela, my big brother, the guy.
Yeah, no. Rwano, man, the guy.
Last time I was playing for you. Joburg Theater and Beat Theater.
We were sharing a stage there with them.
Yeah.
The Arts Alive.
I just want to appreciate your stanza or your focus of really appreciating our former pianist and our work. I mean, as a piano teacher also, I know from the curriculum, we are forced to go the routine of the Western. And there's a little bit which is done for locally. I'm a piano teacher at UNISA Music Foundation.
I see.
I can tell you there's a less of material, especially for exam, that appreciates. It's only, you'll only find few. Paul Henma and Putisi Puri,
yes.
But the rest of my former piano players, you don't find the works. So you are encouraging all the younger us, the younger ones from you, to pursue where you're gonna live and try to change the narrative also.
Yeah, so I
mean, thank you.
No, Ralewu Khaman, it's the only people you know that can change it. Is us. You are the change, you know. If you start doing something, I do something, that's the only way we can revolt, you know, without just talking big and doing nothing. The more we perform our songs at the so-called corporates, the more we perform them all the time, and the more we talk about ourselves all the time. It's how we will be better people. Perhaps your UNISA people might even begin to even want to appropriate this much, because the thing about imperialism is that when they know that there's something to be gained, they appropriate and get the profit. So now get your profit before they start realizing it. Let's be happy they don't see this thing.
Yeah. Tapelo, thank you so much, Tapelo.
Sure.
Let's go back to Attridge Ville. The North is coming out this evening. I mean, this morning. Jimmy, good morning.
Hi, Lokona.
Are you well?
I'm also a first-time caller on your show.
Wow! I must host Yonela more. He comes with a good incentive here on Power Talk.
No, I appreciate it. It's very enlightening. I think I've learned a lot about music. Yes. Look, there are two things. One is more on the parent side, that you find some of us who grew up in region where the music was suppressed, the instrumental music that is suppressed in the church city, to say you can't play instrumental music. So you grew up being instrumentally deaf, as it were, you see. So you can't appreciate piano when you play, so guitar, that type of a thing. And then, but that's the part where I wanted to ask, you know, whether what are career opportunities? Can a person, really our kids, make a living, really? Except teaching music, as I understand from what Nolera has been sharing with us. Any other career opportunity out there?
Yes, I mean, just studying this music, it's like building a bigger library on who we are. I mean, if there's anything that we know about people, about places, say in Europe, is how many tourists tend to go to flock to their museums to see what they say about their past. And I think that's enough of a career opportunity to go and appreciate this form and learn it. You can share it by playing it. You can share it by being an expert on it. And you can go abroad. I mean, why is it that it's only people from outside that can come here and stay for a couple of weeks and they go and write books on our music? So I think that should be enough of a career opportunity for you. So, and I wanted to comment about the fact that you were saying, yes, there's been a lot of restrictions on how, you know, on just wanting to do music. I mean, we all went through that. In fact, that's because the piano also has a history of Marathi as being in the slum, you know, Maravini, where it's been a tool where people came to drink and have a good time with Shebeen Queens, in the same way that jazz, piano, and ragtime has been an accompaniment to the whole houses, basically. So this music, really, that's why I like it, because it embraces life for what it is. And if people are afraid of the truth, they will do those things.
Mm.
And I mean, it's very sad for me, more especially as far as gender is concerned. There's a lot of pianists that are male and less female, which surprises me. And because piano now is equated to strength, to dominance, to masculinity, which is funny, because in the what we were using in the Victorian era, the piano was part of a homely setup. Ladies were the ones that were learning the piano together with their knitting thing. So the more we study this music, then we can also help it to empower also our ladies.
And return it to its roots in one way or the other.
And return ourselves to the roots through the piano, yes.
Absolutely. Jimmy, thank you so much. Twitter, Tabang says, I must say hello to his brother-in-law. Tell him he's been trying to get through, and he says, let me greet you. Entle is asking, what do you think about collaborating with Mbuso Khoza? She watched both of you separately at the Standard Bank Arena back before COVID. You are both great.
Yeah, we've been talking about that, and yeah, you know, there's stuff that happens, like the people talk about that. Maybe we must get someone to formalize that process, but I know I love his music, and every time he meets me, he sings my song, I sing his song. So,
yeah.
And remember, we've been in that, we've been in and out of the house of Babu Temba Mkhize, so I suppose he's brought the platform for us to collaborate.
Well, let's give some people some more of your stuff, Yonela, that they love. Yeah, what is this?
It's a song of happiness. I think maybe we're hoping for a quicker post-COVID period.
Yeah.
Where we are happy, Hori. The only thing that we have, ke Hori
Utengfa. Yeah.
We're the only ones that are there for each other.
Wow, let's have a listen. Utengfa, a happy song, as Yonela says. Yonela Mnana, jazz scholar, recording singer, jazz pianist, and a teacher. Thank you so much for your beautiful teachings this morning. We've learned a lot, but extremely got to appreciate also just the work that you do, its importance, and this decolonial agenda that will help empower all of us, including the likes of Tapelo, who say the curriculum still has this Western root, and ground ourselves and come back to who we are. Thank you so much for spending time with us this morning.
Well, thanks for the support and for the platform. It's very, very rare. I mean, I think a lot of things in the media has been, it's a lot of sensationalism. Mm. And I think, you know, I hope that we will find and support each other, not just for someone to just get work or just, you know, just survive, but we must support people also in the scholastic avenues, people that are trying to do some work that appreciate a heritage and that are empowering.
Yeah.
And yeah, hopefully, you know, others will benefit from this slot. I'll be listening.
Thank you so much. On that note, people of power, it's a goodbye from us on Power Talk.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.